Hello and welcome back to The Brunch Files, where we serve up bottomless brunch-worthy topics about life in your 30s. We're your hosts, Tegan and Rachel, and today we are bringing you a little bit of an express episode. We were just having a chat and we thought, let's just go through some of the things that we've been watching, reading, and also eating.
Because food always.
Recently. So yeah, probably be a quick one today. Although we often say that and ends up being longer than we think. But
yeah, we'll start yapping. How we go. let's start with watching. Have you watched any good TV shows recently? I'm always up for a recommendation because I feel like how much time do you sit there scrolling and not finding something?
Yeah, I would say we haven't really watched that. I feel like, I don't know, we've got all the streaming, well, not all of them, but we've got, you know, a couple of the streaming platforms. We've got, at the moment, we've got Netflix and Stan. Mm-hmm. We did have Binge for a little while and then we swapped it out for Stan because there was something on there we wanted to watch.
It's always on the one you don't have.
Yes. And so we generally always keep Netflix. Mm-hmm. Like that one doesn't ever tend to drop off, but all the others we just tend to rotate through. Yeah. But I kind of try to set the rule of not having any more than two at a time.
Yeah.
But yeah, on Stan recently, we were watching The Flash, which has like been on for a long time. It's a superhero series.
Yeah, okay.
But it was one we started watching like ages ago, like years. And I think we only ever got like a few seasons in. Mm-hmm. And then we were just at a loss a couple of, like a month or two ago. We were like, what the hell do we watch? And we were like, oh, we'll just chuck that on. And then we just kind of got a bit invested in it. And now we're like one season to go. We're like, we just need to finish.
You're committed now. Do you tend to always watch shows together or do you also each have your own shows you watch respectively?
No, we have our own shows that we watch separately as well. So like, for example, I watched recently Emily in Paris season four, which I actually really enjoyed. Nah, he would not sit through
that. See, I can't. I watched the first one or two, but the last two seasons Andrew's watched alone. He loves it. I just can't stand it. It's so stupid.
It is kind of stupid. I really did like season four because she goes to Italy, which was nice, and she kind of like, I don't know, there's a new love interest, so like the old love triangle's kind of gone, there's a new sort of love triangle, but the new love interest, I'm like, oh, he's the one.
What happened with like the chef
and the chef, so they were together and then they broke up, sorry spoilers for anyone who hasn't listened. And then she met another guy in their like hiatus period, and then the broody
didn't
chef,
the chef come back.
Yes, but they were together at the start of the season.
And then the friend was pregnant?
Yes, the old girlfriend was pregnant. But then she turns out she wasn't actually pregnant. Oh. And then they broke up. And then in that sort of – and then Gabrielle got all annoyed at Emily for dumping him. And then Emily met someone else and now he's jealous. And it ended with him being like, oh, she's moved to Italy. I need to go and find her. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
But now you're like, no, but the new guy, like I think his name is Marcello. It's like so much better. I'm team High Marcello drama. Now. So it's like, who cares about you, Gabrielle? You're so season three.
See, yeah, I just can't. But I sometimes get home and Andrew's watching Emily in Paris. I'm like, you do you.
I enjoy it. What have you been watching?
The best show I've watched this year, and I think I might have mentioned it on the show before, but it's Bad Sisters.
That's on Apple, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's on Apple. It is
so good.
I've
never
had
Apple TV. But maybe
it's annoying because you pay and then you still have to pay for things. But I would get it
like,
just to
watch
like
this. Amazon now. Yeah. You have to pay for things.
So I think I got it for Lessons in Chemistry and also watched Bad Sisters. Both highly recommend those shows on Apple TV. So if you want to get the free trial and smash them out, it's amazing. Bad Sisters is set in Ireland. It's five sisters. There's like – it opens at someone's funeral and then you basically, it flashes back between the present and the past and you're trying to work out what happened. Just really good television, a bit of black humor. Really enjoyed that. I also recently watched The Perfect Couple and I'm interested to hear your thoughts. Love it or hate it. Also on the opening dance scene.
I haven't seen it.
You should watch that. That's on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll watch that.
Can recommend The Perfect
Couple.
Is that
a movie?
No, a series. But like limited series. I don't know. There's like seven or eight episodes. Similar again. You're trying to work out. Someone's dead. You're trying to work out what's happened. It's like a wedding. I love the dance. So like the intro, the whole cast are doing this dance and I just loved it, never skipped it, but I've heard mixed opinions. I was talking to someone else the other day. She's like, ew, couldn't watch it, skipped it every time. I'm like, nah, I'm all about it. But I'm into musical theatre, so.
Interesting.
They're my two favourites. Yeah. What else have you watched?
So Sean and I recently watched the second season of the Lord of the Rings TV series.
Is that any good? Because I love Lord of the Rings, but I'm a bit of a diehard original fan.
I don't know. Like the first season, like we watched it together because the show we could watch together. And also I'm trying to like recoup my brownie points so that when I want to watch a show, he has to watch it with me. I hold it against him now if I ever want to watch like the Sunday night reveals of The Block. I'm like, Sean, I watch this with you. You need to watch this with me. Look, the first season, very slow.
Yeah.
I mean, I find all of Lord of the Rings a little bit slow. But anyway, first season, very slow. I've enjoyed the second season more, but I think diehard fans are a bit like, it's not really.
Is it true to the book is my question, because
well,
I'm a book fan.
I don't think that, isn't there like the Tolkien estate or something? I don't know, but I don't think like Amazon don't have the full rights. So they only have rights to parts of it and then they've kind of taken liberties. Oh. I mean, I think as a general, like enjoy, like it's been enjoyable enough.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm not like we watch one episode and I'm like, I have to watch the next one. Yep. And they're really long. Yeah. Like they're like all like movie length, yep. like 80 minutes or something like that. It's a commitment. Like they're quite long.
I was sick last weekend and I watched the whole season of Nobody Wants This, also a new Netflix one, okay. which I'd watch it if I were you. I have seen a lot of hype on social media. I don't think it was as good as I was expecting.
Right.
Not an Adam Brody fan. I don't find him attractive and everyone's swooning over him.
So I loved Adam Brody in the OC.
Yeah, well, then you probably love this. He's a beautiful character. He's great. He's a Jewish rabbi. And basically she is like – they actually – the two main characters are sisters and they have a podcast. Oh, but it's kind of about their dating single life. But then obviously the spark forms with this guy and there's the sort of –
that sounds good.
The challenges with the different – like differences in culture and religion, all that kind of stuff. And it's a comedy. Nice. I think it's Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Oh, anyway, okay.
It's quite funny, but it's – I didn't think it was that great. But easy to just smash out and watch. So I'd add it to your watch list if you're looking for something.
Yeah. The other thing I've been watching, and purely because I've had Stan, but I've been re-watching One Tree Hill,
which is like a cast
back to my, like, you know, I don't know, 15, 16-year-old. Like, it's very nostalgic.
Yeah.
So I've been watching that and quite enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've watched a couple of seasons of that. But I also find there's some parts of it where I'm like, oh, this storyline is a bit boring, so I'll just skip a couple of episodes things, because you can kind of do that.
Vein. I'm rewatching Grey's Anatomy for the second time.
I've never watched Grey's Anatomy.
I love it. It's
such a commitment though, isn't there like 16 seasons or something?
The first maybe 6 or 7 are the best.
Mm.
I don't think I've ever finished it, so maybe I will finish it this time.
Yeah.
But I love the original, like Christina, Meredith, Derek, like the original cast, and then it all kind of goes a bit haywire towards the end. But I love it and I'm rewatching that because I was due. I just was feeling it. Like enough time had passed that I was ready. And I'm not a rewatcher. This is actually the only show I'll rewatch.
I often do that sometimes with Gilmore Girls as well. Like I'll rewatch parts of that.
And you can kind of, you know what happens. So like if you're doing other stuff and you've got it on, it's sort of easy.
Exactly.
Any other shows from you?
Well, I went and saw a musical. Ooh, so I went and saw Six, the musical, which is playing in Melbourne at the moment. No, I didn't love it. I mean, it was entertaining enough, but I didn't like the format. I mean, if you like your sort of more traditional musical theatre, I probably would say you probably wouldn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very much done like it's a pop concert almost. Yep. And the premise is that they're the six wives of Henry VIII.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found they kind of ripped off a lot of things from other musicals, like the whole like divorced, beheaded, died is very like Chicago-esque kind of thing. And there was a bit of like it kind of always leans a bit pop culture-y. They held mics the whole time, which I found really annoying.
Don't they like break the fourth wall?
They do. They talk like the whole premise is that they're trying to convince the audience who had it the worst, effectively. And then they all kind of have this revelation at the end. They're like, oh, the only reason people remember us is because of our husband and we need to reclaim our stories. Okay. It did get better as it went on. Like the music towards the end was better. But, yeah, it wasn't – like I wasn't – yeah. It wasn't my favourite thing. Like I wouldn't see it again. That makes sense.
That reminded me, though, the other night I spontaneously bought tickets to one of those candlelit concerts.
Oh, amazing.
Do you get those ads on Instagram all the time? And I did the movie soundtrack one and it's got so like good. Lion King, Lord of the Rings, Pocahontas, Frozen, like amazing. All like a big mix. And I didn't realise till after I bought the tickets, it's actually at the Melbourne Aquarium.
Oh, that's so really cool.
Under the big dome tank by night, candles, I think you can get drinks. I'm so excited. And Andrew's coming with me. He's not like a big classical music fan, but he's like, love, yeah, I'll come.
There's something so nice about a live orchestra though.
Yes, I'm so excited.
And such an appreciation. Like I've done that a couple of times. I've seen a few times where the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra have done like the movie set to like they play the live soundtrack, which is quite amazing.
Did you do Harry Potter for that?
Yeah, I've done Harry Potter twice. We did I've done the Philosopher's Stone and the Prisoner of Azkaban, I believe it was.
Yep.
And then Sean and I went last year or the year before? The year before, and we saw Home Alone.
Yep. Was that like Christmas time?
Yeah, it was Christmas time. It was around like mid-December. Mm-hmm. So that was amazing. And then but I've also just been to the orchestra a couple of times.
It'd be beautiful.
And it's just so, I don't know, just the appreciation of just actually seeing it all come together. Like it's quite, I would recommend it. It's quite amazing.
I really wanted to go to the Vivaldi Four Seasons one, which I think is at the Collingwood Town Hall. So again, a candlelight concert. Couldn't do the dates that were on. And so I just booked this one. But if it's good, some of them are not, some of them are like $40-something. Like this was more. But I think it's going to be so worth it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so cool. We also went and saw It Ends With Us, the movie, recently, which I think is out of cinemas now. What did you think?
What did I think? So I didn't like the book. The only Colleen Hoover book I've liked is Verity. Would recommend that, but otherwise didn't really enjoy the book.
Yep.
I was skeptical of Blake Lively as a what's her name? Poppy? Oh, Lily.
Lily Blossom Bloom.
Yes. I was – because in the book she's meant to be this like sort of small, red-haired, timid kind of young character, and I'm like, that is not Blake Lively at all.
True.
But I really enjoyed – the movie more than the book. Mm. I enjoyed the, I guess, Blake Lively's interpretation of it or portrayal of it. I don't think they did as much as good of a job as the book at kind of portraying the insidious nature of the abuse. So I don't know if you know the backstory, but there's some really like heavy themes of domestic abuse. And it kind of comes out of nowhere in the film, and I felt like they were going for shock value rather than perhaps taking the opportunity to really demonstrate.
Yeah, it didn't really build it up.
No, how it can slowly happen, small things and you let them go.
But I suppose
and then
what they
builds.
Did do, they showed the manipulation,
yeah.
I guess, the way that she – he was like, oh, but it happened this way.
Yeah.
And then how later on she kind of would realise that it wasn't. So I guess from that perspective.
Yeah. Have you read the book?
No.
Do you think you will?
No. I've only seen the film. I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was, to be honest, but I would agree. I think it was a bit
– yeah.
Yeah, it kind of just came out of nowhere. You didn't really – I think you saw it coming because everyone – like if you're going to see that film, like most people knew the context behind it.
Yeah.
And like the plot, I guess. But, yeah, you didn't really see the build. Like the red flags.
Yes.
I guess weren't displayed.
No, I think they're more overt in the book perhaps. But anyway, I take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Is my assessment.
Yeah. I mean wasn't annoyed that I saw it and spent money on it. Like,
and
it was
fun
fine.
To go with. We went out for grill with a few girls and like, with our book club actually basically and a few extras, and that was really lovely. Have you seen anything else in the cinema lately?
Sean and I saw Fly Me to the Moon a couple of months ago now, which had Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum, and it was sort of set back in the 50s, 60s, whenever the moon landing happened, and it was kind of played on like the modern conspiracy that, you know, it was all staged and they never actually went to the moon. And the whole idea was that the American government were like, we want it, we need to, we've promised we're going to broadcast it, but if something goes wrong, we can't broadcast the actual thing. So we need to broadcast the fake.
Broadcast something.
While it's happening, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So that was kind of the whole premise of it. It's a bit of a rom-com, you know, like again, it's not going to like move the earth, but it was enjoyable enough. We quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. Mm. The only other show I had on my list, just purely for discussion factor, was we started watching Monsters on Netflix recently, which is the Lyle and Eric Menendez
story.
Have
you finished it?
I don't know if I can. I'm not sure if I will. It's the same, I think, creator that did the Jeffrey Dahmer story, and I could not watch that. I was like, I don't need to see this, like, you know, it's like watching what you consume, and I just felt like I was feeding evil into my psyche. I was like, oh, this is heavy. Was really enjoying it, but then they actually start to really play-by-play depict some of the abuse. And I'm like, I can't, I don't think I can, I felt sick. I was like, what I want to do is get past perhaps this episode and get to the court case, because I think I want to see how it plays out, and I think it's well done, the show, but it was full on, so fair warning.
Yeah, I kind of, I don't know, I'm a bit on the fence with some of these like true crime documentaries. I think this one I take a little bit less moral issue with, because I think there's a little bit more of a moral dilemma in the actual case, if
instead
that makes
of like Jeffrey
sense.
Dahmer, who was just
whereas
people.
I think Jeffrey Dahmer's story, like, I don't know if anyone knows about that story, but if you do, I mean, just if you want to look into it, I would just recommend just approach with caution, because it's quite a heavy, it's quite a dark story. I remember when I was in a bit of a true crime phase a few years ago, pre-COVID, when it was sort of all the rage, listening to that, and it was one of the things I remember thinking, I actually didn't know that humans could be so evil. Like, you hear about crimes and like murder and all of those sorts of things, but that was on a whole nother level. I remember being quite disturbed, I would say, by that story. And so I think the fact that then that was made into a film or into a series, it feels quite gratuitous.
Yes.
And it's like, what are you trying to achieve with it? Whereas I feel like the Monsters piece, there's a discussion to be had moving on from, you know, where it was 30 years ago and where we were when it came to issues of, you know, child sexual abuse and domestic violence and all those sorts of things. There probably is some sort of merit in bringing that story to life and really having that debate. I mean, what they did was wrong. I don't think you can ever murder someone and find any sort of justification, but there is a discussion to be had, but I think like the Ted Bundy one, the Jeffrey Dahmer one, like it just feels gratuitous.
That's it. And it's just interesting because I think, you know, there's obviously mixed opinions on whether the stories of abuse were true or not. And you're like, it's such a, it's messy and it's really, but fair warning with that show, they really talk through, you know, childhood abuse and things like that. And it's really quite confronting. But I think like what I took issue with the Jeffrey Dahmer one, because they were almost putting him, like people were finding him, the actor, like attractive, and it was like they almost were glorifying him, and I was like, no, this is not, there is, and no, it's place hugely for that.
Messed up. And like a number of his victims, they're still unidentified and unnamed, and I just think
families,
like it's still, it wasn't that long ago. I think he's still alive. Like I feel like he might be still alive in prison or something. I don't know, but that, you think about the families of the victims, it's like that's where the emphasis should be on. That's who people should be remembering, not the people they've done these horrible things.
Completely,
in my opinion.
What about reading?
We'll take a segue from that.
Lighter-hearted. What have you read lately?
Reading. So I've started reading the Throne of Glass series by Sarah J. Maas. And I will say,
is that ACOTAR or is that separate?
Well, it's the same author.
Okay.
Yeah, as ACOTAR. I've also read ACOTAR.
Which one's better?
I think I'm probably enjoying Throne of Glass more because I think there's more of a story to it. Like there was a story to ACOTAR, but it's
isn't that the smutty
it's
one?
Smut. Let's be honest. That's what it is. Like it's fantasy like porn, essentially.
Fantasy Mills and Boone. Mum used to talk about Mills and Boone books, which I think back in the day was essentially like the romantic, like paperback crap. Like.
Yes, yes. There is some very, you know, vivid scenes. But there is a nice story. Like I did also, there is a good story, I think, that goes along with the ACOTAR books, but I feel like that's not there. There's a dual purpose. Whereas I feel like the Throne of Glass series, which I believe she wrote before, because apparently I've heard from others who are a bit further ahead in the series than I am that it gets smuttier as it goes on. I mean, there's romance. Like I do like, but it's good. I'm quite enjoying it. I mean, it is sort of in that fantasy vein. So if that's not something you enjoy, it may not be for you. But I mean, I think it's, there's enough sort of mystery and, I don't know, thrilling sort of that read. Like you want to keep reading, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been enjoying that.
Yeah. I've mostly just been reading our book club books this year. We did Lola in the Mirror by Trent Dalton a couple of months ago. Yes. I really enjoyed that. It was mixed opinions. It seemed like people that loved what was this other one? Boy Swallows Universe didn't like this so much and vice versa.
Yeah.
I liked this more than Boy Swallows Universe, but yeah, really enjoyed that.
I found that a struggle to get through. Like there was, I think if it wasn't for book club, I would not have finished it if I just picked it up to read it on my own. But once I read the whole way through, I'm really glad that I read the whole thing.
It has a very satisfactory ending.
Yes.
It ties off loose ends.
Yes. And if I reflect on the book as a whole, I really enjoyed it, but there were points in the middle there where I was like,
it is very different.
And I need to really slog through this one.
Yeah, it wasn't like grab your attention kind of thing.
Yeah, I would agree.
We've actually read two Kristen Hannah books, The Women and The Nightingale. Would highly recommend her as an author.
Yeah, I'd recommend both those books.
What was the other one you read? The Wild?
The Great Alone.
Yeah, I want to
read
that
one. Also quite enjoyed. They're all very different.
Yeah.
But she just has a lovely way of actually really setting the scene. Like I actually find her writing quite immersive. Like she does – her descriptions and things are quite good. I think the Nightingale of the three is still my favourite.
Yeah, so Nightingale's set in occupied France during the
The Second World War.
Yep. And it's sort of – it really – both of them actually. And then The Women is Vietnam, but it's focusing on the women and the nurses and the role that women played in Vietnam. And then I suppose with The Nightingale, it's more the perspective of young women in that time.
Yes.
And it shows, again, that insidious creep of the occupation and what it would have been like as things started to change bit by bit.
Yes.
Both are really quite heart-wrenching. Emotional reads, like they're not happy reads.
But I cried multiple times in The Nightingale. I did not cry in The Women.
There you go.
There was times I found myself like my eyes kind of like welling up in The Women. Like but only at a couple of points. But the Nightingale, like I feel like I was weeping towards the end of it. Like
I cried in both, like not a lot in both. I reckon there was one point in each that I was teary.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're good.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Great Alone was also good. Mm-hmm. It's a very different type of story. It's about a family that moved to remote Alaska. But it sort of deals with themes of domestic violence, post-traumatic stress disorder, because her dad is a Vietnam vet.
Mm-hmm. Does Kristen Hannah have, like, was her dad a Vietnam vet? Like, what's her connection to war and history?
I don't know, because also apparently her book Firefly Lane is also set in that similar time period. Yeah. Like post-Vietnam.
Which is a Netflix series now, isn't it?
Yes, it did get made into a Netflix series.
I've watched the first season, but I don't know if there's been more.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not actually watched it. But again, really great. I haven't read that book, but I've heard it's good.
Mm. Our last book was Educated by Tara Westover, which is an autobiography. I did not finish. How much did you read?
I reckon I read maybe 30, 40%. I just couldn't get into it. Mm. I found the story really like – it's a true story about a girl who grows up in a very sort of, I guess, conservative but also very
– sort of extremist.
Extremist family.
They're basically doomsday preppers. They're Mormons but her father just takes it.
It's their own real brand of Mormonism. It's not really a
– yeah.
Yeah, and it was just very – I found the whole thing. I was like, the moment I started reading, I just wanted to stop.
Yep.
And so I was finding myself reading it in very short bursts and then putting it down. And then just not wanting to pick it back up again. And at some point it got to like 4 or 5 days out from book club and I was like, I'm just resigning. I'm giving up. I'm not doing it. That's the first one you've not read. That's the first one I've not finished.
For a lot of the book I said that I liked the book and hated the story. Like I appreciated her writing and the way she was able to kind of hook me in, but I hated what was happening and I hated that it was true. I was like, this is awful. But then the last third of the book I really didn't enjoy and I don't like how it ended and I had some issues with it. So I wouldn't put it high on my list of recommendations.
Yeah.
Some really good.
I think I would have enjoyed it more if I'd maybe listened to it as an audiobook. Yeah. I think maybe that would have helped me get through it a bit quicker.
Yeah.
Eventually.
True.
But you just, yeah.
Book club is so good for making me read things I wouldn't normally read.
Yeah, I wouldn't have normally picked that up.
Yeah.
There's no way.
And what we're doing next is Honeybee. And I've actually got the audiobook because I'm like, I just don't think I'm going to get through it in a book form this month. Enjoying that so far. So we'll report back on that
one. Yeah, I need to make a start.
The other one I've almost finished reading, I've sort of just read it mostly last weekend when I was sick. It's called – I picked it off. Like we've got a little book library at work and I just picked it up. It's called Sorrow and Bliss.
I've heard of that. I haven't I've not read it, but I have heard – a few people talk about it.
It's very easy to read because it's all in little chunks of like, you know, there's not like long chapters. They're quite short and she jumps around from memories to present day. And it's kind of looking at, she struggles her whole life, well, basically since she's 17 with mental health. She has this illness that they don't actually name, but she finally gets diagnosed and then she kind of figures out and it's all around how she never thinks she wanted a child. And then, she ends up just realizing that her whole life she's wanted that but hasn't thought that she could because of the medication she's been on and because of her quote-unquote issues. She's frustrating and I'm like, it's been easy to read, but it's not a pleasant book. It's quite – it's kind of a sad and you kind of – it's a bit depressing, to be honest.
Yeah, right.
But I'm nearly finished, so I'll report back on that one too.
Yeah. I feel like we're in need of another like lighthearted book. Like we read Happy Place by Emily Henry, which I actually quite enjoyed because it's just like lighthearted. It's not, you know, it doesn't take itself too seriously, that sort of thing.
I would say if you want a lighthearted holiday read, anything by Beth O'Leary. Yeah. I really enjoy The Flat Share, The Holiday. They're actually – nothing truly bad happens.
Yes.
And it's – they're really fun, the way they're written, great characters. So Beth O'Leary for a lighthearted read if you want that.
Yeah. I think we need to maybe put one of those on our book club after the next two.
I think we've got a Stephen King one on for December.
Yeah, that's for December. But I feel like that one's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like thriller, mystery sort of
– what's it called again?
11-22-63.
I can never remember.
Yeah, so it kind of, I think, is a bit of a sci-fi retelling of the JFK assassination.
Mm. Which is not normal Stephen King, is it? Which sounds kind of
interesting. I've heard really, like people who've read it, I've heard it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
I might have to start that one now because his books are thick.
It is quite thick. But we're giving ourselves December and January to do
it. Oh, okay. We're fine.
So we've got time.
Yep. All right, let's get to food.
Food, yeah. So I went out for dinner the other week. I do love some Asian fusion.
Me too.
We went to Rice, Paper, Scissors in the city, in the CBD. And you know what? Like I've eaten there twice now because I've heard so many good things about it. And I went for my sister's birthday. We went to the one in Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
And then, before we saw Six the other week, I said, let's go here for some friends. And you know what? Both times I've been a little bit underwhelmed.
Well, that's sad. It's like hard to stuff up good Asian food.
Yeah. Like the food, it was nice. But I think everyone used to really like rave about it. And it's really hard to get a booking. Like if you try and book on the day, you can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, it was just a bit like meh. And I think the day we went last week, they had just got their new menu. Mm-hmm. And like we ordered a la carte and like all the food, it took ages for the food to come. And it was just a bit of a nightmare. But yeah, but the food itself was good, but it was all just a bit, I don't know.
Yeah.
Fell a bit flat.
That's it. There's some really good, like, Asian fusion, though. Like, I love, like, Chin Chin and Ho Chi Mama is always good.
Yep.
Super Normal I love.
Yep. Anything sort of with a Vietnamese sort of bent to it, I love.
Yep, totally. Yep. Our little go-to for date night is usually dumplings. Like we love to go take a bottle of wine, just sit down, have dumplings. There's actually this cute little dumpling bar that's opened up just at Churnside near us.
And do gluten-free, do you know?
Oh, I didn't check. I should have checked.
No, where does gluten-free dumpling?
Because the moment I walked in, I'm like, oh, we should come here with Tegan and Sean. It's so cute. And then I thought to myself, oh, dumplings are the least gluten-free friendly thing ever. But like it was really like an actually nice place to sit. And we walked. We took our bottle of wine and we walked from home and walked back. So it was really nice to walk off the dumpling feast, you know, on the way home. And that was good.
So good.
But I mean, you'd have to live in Churnside. I don't remember what it's called. This is not a very good plug for the business. Where else?
Sean and I went out to Sake maybe a month or two ago, which is near Hamer Hall, like the art centre in Melbourne. It's Japanese. And it was really good, although their gluten-free options, even though so much stuff on their menu was marked gluten-free, they used shared fries, which meant I couldn't eat as much as I wanted to. And that was a bit rude about it. They were a bit rude about it as well when I kind of brought it up to them. And anyway, they ended up actually accommodating it, which was fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a bit like you can't mark that stuff when you. But no. The actual food itself, like amazing. If you like your sashimi and all of that sort of stuff, they do amazing sushi, sashimi. That sort of thing was delicious.
Yep. I am a sucker for Italian. And
Italian is good.
This week actually, a few days ago, we went out to D'Estasio Carlton. So there's, I think, D'Estasio Città in the city, and then this is their kind of Carlton branch. Anyway, it's like a courtyard, and it's. And they had blankets and little heaters, and we had pizza and pasta, and it was all delicious. Service was amazing and super reasonably priced.
Can't go wrong with pizza and pasta.
No, I know. My favourites, though, in terms of Italian in the city, Tipo and Osteria Ilaria, so I think they're sister restaurants, always incredible pasta. Osteria has like the best Feed Me. I haven't been in ages and I really want to. Or Amelia Trattoria, which is also in the city. It's kind of tucked away. It's Sicilian, pretty sure. And it is so good. Like I would go back there again and again. Yeah.
Delicious. But really, we need some recommendations. Yeah, I feel like I've run out of some like places to go, and I always end up reverting to the same. It's like we live in Melbourne and there are so many amazing options.
And I don't like going back to the same ones because, I mean, when you find something really good, it's good to go every now and then.
Yes.
But like I want to try new places.
Yeah. So definitely we'll be putting a question box on our stories. And please send us recommendations, especially coming into this time of year. I feel like recommendations are helpful for everyone. Yes. When you've got like a Christmas catch up or anything that you want to do. So
that's it. Love Carlton Wine Room's always really good. Do love that. I actually had a few recommendations from friends though ahead of this episode. One was Manzi in North Melbourne. That's meant to be really good. Old Palm Liquor and Henry Sugar. I think they're all around the Fitzroy area. Also Fluffy Torpedo, which I'd not heard of.
That sounds so random.
But there's some recommendations I'm yet to try, can't vouch for. But tell us where you like. And also reading, watching, give us your recommendations.
Yes. Well, yeah, that brings us to the end of our list. But yeah, absolutely. As Rach said, we will be putting some question boxes, well, some little comment boxes up on our stories on Instagram. So if you don't already follow us, it's thebrunchfiles.podcast. And you can find us on Instagram, but also on TikTok. But yeah, we would love to hear your recommendations. I'm definitely in need of some inspiration. Please just like send all the ideas through.
And thank you for listening. Like, follow, share with a friend if you've enjoyed. And we'll catch you in the next one.
Bye. The Brunch Files would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live, meet, work and play, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and of course any First Nations peoples who may be listening today.
This podcast is all about the adventures, stories and laughs of being a woman in her 30s. While we strive to entertain and share relatable experiences, please remember that our content is purely for fun and shouldn't be taken too seriously, and it's definitely not professional advice. Life is a wild ride and everyone's journey is unique. We believe that laughter is the best policy, and we're just here to spread some joy.